This is an MUT Radio podcast.
MUT Radio, shape and own the future. This is the Campus Voice and the time is 23 minutes past 1. Uhlele nami nge intombi yasegood inkomo untombazi ehamsana no Princess G. And on the line we have Mrs. Simeni, our your beautiful Mrs. Simeni, it's always a pleasure to have you with us as we it's always a pleasure to have you with us as we embrace ourselves through this chilly weather. We thought, you know, we'd share some light with on relationships that might be a bit of warmth and clarity. Yeah, welcome to the Campus Voice.
Which better way to keep yourself warm than to get into that relationship? You know? We could even do a little bit, pretend as if Lalili Abeko, and just go on some relationship gossip.
So let us start with friendships. You know, we all have that one friend who might come across boundaries or become a bit too much. How do you identify toxic traits in a friendship and how do you address it?
Oh, okay. You sound like you have a flu. Are you well?
I'm well.
Okay.
She's a bit shy today.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, she's letting you lead, Princess P. Okay. Which is great, actually. Your friendships and toxicity can be so hectic. Maybe I could give you an example that is personal to myself.
We always love those.
I'm a person of friendship. In my life, you would find friends that I can tell you, oh, I was in grade 10 with her. Oh, we were in primary school together. That's how I keep friendships around me.
Wow.
And, I have people from different places where I once was any part of my life. But it won't be everybody. That's because not everyone is always going to fit into what you would like a friend to be. And then you'll be able to identify that, you know what, this is kind of going towards being toxic, you know. So one of the things to identify if a friendship is toxic, one, a person might just, you know, claim to not be able to live without you. I'm talking about a friendship here. You know, friends who can't think, who just do wrong when you're not in their presence, and friends who cannot keep special information like secrets, you know, secrets when you guys are talking to one another, or friends who actually share detrimental, when I say detrimental, I'm saying things that can destroy your reputation or detrimental information about you, or somebody who's always taking and you are forever giving to the relationship. You're either always taking, you're always giving the advice, you are always, you know, they enjoy that they are the ones that are being celebrated much more than any other person in this relationship. Friends who literally just take from you, you know, all the time. It can be a small thing, like even clothes, you know, like simple things like clothes. Yeah. It can be big things like a lover or anything like that, you know, that you might find that, oh, I thought she was my friend, but then, oh, how are they doing this with so-and-so now and all of that. Toxic relationships, I mean, toxic friendships also could be where you can't tell each other the truth. Whether it's wrong or right, you are not telling each other the truth. You know, one would say it that way, if we were to put it frankly. And kuzani, that's a toxic friendship. And it's a toxic friendship where umganwako, you can't tell them the truth because you fear their reaction. It's a toxic friendship if you are going to be doing things to please your friend, even though you don't feel good about doing those things. And that there's a lot of ways to identify toxic friendships, especially when you no longer feel good about it and no longer feel good contributing to it. Mm. It's already started contributing negatively and toxically towards your own life.
Wow. Yeah, with the whole, you know, with the friendship one, Mrs. M, I think we're the same because I am very much a friendship person. I'm a girl's girl. Well, even if it's a guy, like, I'm just a friendship person, and I usually put on a lot of effort in friendships because I feel like it's one of the most beautiful relationships, because if it is the right friendship, that's where you can be yourself entirely without feeling like, because you know in some relationships you feel like you must hide certain parts of who you are because people are gonna, you know, they won't be able to handle it. Not necessarily that they'll judge you, but sometimes they can't handle. But with your friends, you can do whatever.
You can
do whatever. So it's very sad when, you know, friendships don't work out because perhaps you're the toxic one or the other person is toxic. Sometimes, especially when it comes to things like taking, because I've experienced that where a friend doesn't really see that everything is always about you, you know, and even when you express it, you can see that this person doesn't even realize that everything is always about you. Like, even when I try to express things about myself, we must talk about you. Like,
No, it happens. And I think then, also, when there's a put her down syndrome in the friendship, you where a friend might make kind of comments that put you down even though they are laughing, you know what I mean? They make comments about what you look like while laughing, things that could said by somebody else, it would really be sounding like you see, you know what I mean? So a person always wanting to keep you in check, that you remember that, okay, you are, you know, I'm prettier, I'm better, I'm what, what, even though they won't put it frankly. But because they are constantly laughing about your shortcomings or something else, then you are often being put down. It's just that it's being done with a smile and a hug.
Yeah, that is very, very, very true. So, Mrs. M, before I'm sorry, Z, before Z goes into another question, we do have a friend of the show that has sent us a voice note, sharing their experience in whatever toxic relationship that they've been in. So, we're going to play. Please just first give us a thumbs up if you can hear it or if you can't hear it.
Okay.
Princess G, this is Opelo Gazi.
Can you hear it?
Manhattan.
No.
Kutwa inya was not that. I guess Nisandaz Bagtuan, but I was.
Okay, we'll listen for you.
But in my case, it was family members, like my aunt and her daughter. Like, the daughter fell pregnant while in matric and Azanga Basigashi. And the Namke was in Basa. And endlini kwakungekho ukulingana manda sangokulingana phayana kwavela igephe ba okay phelokazi unjengabe namama like you don't have a mother bayivula lo gap nayibona lo nto bakanjalo oqala ndanikhombela endlini now like the daughter like my cousin she had a very beautiful body like slim and you know that body is here kind of it's perfect kuthi mhlawumbe kuvela something eTV into hayi wena phela ukazeyi kufanele like abantu banibulala ngaphakathi like they are like I have a low self esteem ngenxa yabo nongazithembi but I'm getting back on that dialysis alone okay uzonifanela kuhlekwe yabo asendlini I was the only one doing a house chores kodwa ndenza umatric naxesha but yekulo situation leyo a lot of things happened manphayana bandizobala nje ezezimbalo umntana unomntana ka-1993 ozihlalelayo then ndathathwa nguye ke wafika wathi uzolanda mna because ndandimxeba kanjani phayana disuyika yabo kodwa wathi uzonilanda ke bangizohlala naye because I was doing my matric that year. Ahlala naye then ndazofumana esikolo ngapha. So ndaphuma kanjalo zandiyibalise noyibalise ekhaya because ndangingafuni bengathi like ndixabanise ifamilies or something yabo.
Okay, Mrs. M, I don't know if you were able to listen to it, if you were able to eventually hear it along the line.
I picked up drops and pieces there and there.
Okay.
In terms of what the friend of the show was saying, you can just give me a little bit of, you know, an overview, highlight.
Okay, no. So our friend of the show was mentioning a family toxic relationship between her aunt and her cousin because she doesn't have a mom. So she was living with her aunt and her cousin. And she felt like all the time she was put down in efforts of pulling up her cousin. She would put her down. So if, like, for example, bazothenga mhlambi impahla, right, angithi cousin wakhe, she's slim, she has a great body, all the time they would always say that, no, we wena ngekwazi ukuthi uyiqoke lento lena, ngeke izikufanele wena ngoba 1, 2, 3, and 4 kodwa ubanibani ingamfanela because she has a better body, wena ngeke izikufanele ngoba awumile kahle njengayo. So they said a lot of things to her that basically broke down her self-esteem, and she hasn't addressed it till this day. Like, she didn't tell the other family members, like, ugogwakhe, because she didn't want to cause any family drama. But when she lived with her aunt and her cousin, she says that most of the time they would say a lot of bad things in ngaye, especially her appearance, and then they would even go as far as even laughing. Nje kanjalo.
Yeah, I mean, toxic relationships are across the board. Could be your friendships, could be family, could be a romantic relationship, could be your boss at work or your colleagues, co-workers, anybody that you have a relationship with. If they have personal issues that they haven't dealt with, or you have personal issues that you haven't dealt with, you might find yourself being a toxic person or being around toxic people. It does not just become it's secluded to people that come from the outside. I think a lot of people that have experienced toxic relationships has been a lot to do with family, extended family, and all of that stuff. And it becomes tough when it's like that because sometimes it happens in spaces where you can't go away or you can't just leave, you know, you don't have another place to stay and all of that. And that then requires that you find ways and means and strategies on how to strengthen your own self enough that the toxins don't really get into you and change who you are and how you behave with other people.
Yeah.
Because remember, even any disease, you know, like, it needs to get into your system first before, you know, it can start show. You can start seeing symptoms that, oh, okay, nalo une COVID, you know, and all of that stuff. Because kubonakala ama symptoms ukuthi usemngenile. And I think that one of the reasons why mainly we avoid toxic relationships or we deal with toxic relationships or manage them is because we ourselves are fighting to not become the toxic people.
Wow. Yeah, that is true.
And because that's how we're going to win against it, by ensuring that we don't become that to other people. Nice. What your mom was, what your aunt was, what your, you know, friend was, the main aim is that you don't become that to other people and perpetuate that kind of toxic relationships. Mainly they are created by things that have happened in the past, people's insecurities, what they've been through, or any kind of misinformation about what is a man or what is a woman, and misconceptions, and all coming into the mix. Then you find these relationships that are detrimental to other people, that are killing other people's confidence, that are hitting on other people's self-esteem and all of that, because we're trying to make ourselves feel bigger and feel better. We're trying to heal our own broken inner child.
Sure.
And therefore we are expressing to other people and projecting, actually not even expressing, projecting to other people. And the biggest fight is really, how do we not become that person? How do I not bring about the environment that I grow up in into my own adulthood, you know? Mm. How do I ensure that the toxins don't remain in my body? And how do I protect myself, my own children, if it came from my mother? How do I protect my own children? How do I protect their children and generations to come, and ensuring that that is the end of where that toxic or toxins, well, that's where they end, you know?
Hmm.
It's an across the board challenge. And most of the time when you are in the receiving end, it's easy to identify, but when you are on the giving end, it's hard to identify, because you need to identify it within yourself, that I am actually, there's something wrong with me. And how I'm relating to people. I keep doing it to so and so, and doing it to so and so, and doing it so. People constantly need to please me. People constantly need to give to me in order to prove that they love me. Why can't I just believe people at face value when they say, I love you? What is the challenge with that? And then you'll be able to go back in time to the first time somebody said they love you, and how they disappointed you, and how that informed your relationships going forward.
Wow. That is so powerful, Mrs. M, especially because a lot of us become what we've experienced in relationships, all in attempts of, supposedly in your mind, you think, I'm just trying to protect myself, you know, because I don't want to, I'd rather, like some people, like I've heard some people even say this, that, I know it sounds absurd, but they've even said this, Uguti, I'd rather be the first one that cheats on him before he cheats on me, because he's going to cheat on me anyways. You know, things like that, where people want to be the first ones hurting, because at least I can say I hurt them first, than them hurting me first. So all of these things come from what we've experienced in previous relationships, where it's just you thinking in your mind, it's a defense mechanism, and it's not actually healthy at all.
Most definitely. That is true, Afrika. And I think that when we heal individually as people, you might just find ourselves doing better in relationships, doing better to one another. You know, when we heal the fears that we have, when we heal the traumas that we have, when we heal the insecurities that we have and we've developed over time, we really are going to find ourselves at a place where we really can relate better, you know, with one another. And we can be able to even protect ourselves from toxic relationships. You know, you can identify a guy or a woman who's going to be toxic as a relationship goes ahead by conversations, you know, in terms of, you know, you've learned the art of being able to identify, so that you don't land yourself in such situations. And it's not because of fear, but it's because of lessons that you have learned along the way, and how to, you know, protect yourself. And you ask yourself simple questions. If really, really it's the people that I'm dating, how come they all leave me like this, you know? You're done blaming them, come back and sit down and introspect with yourself, you know, in your own behaviors. Look at yourself, look at how you speak to people, how you treat people, what are your expectations, and what are your deliverable time frames and all of that. When you want it and you want it now, I'm just speaking on a basic relationship. When you want to see a person, you want to see them now. When you don't see them now, they are either cheating on you or whatever, you know, all of those things that you start playing in your own mind, you know. And you're not playing the current relationship, you're playing your past experiences. So we need that process of introspection and healing, and it will assist us to be able to protect ourselves as well.
You know, there's a saying that says love is blind. So how can someone discern between genuine love and love that might be shrouded in toxicity? And how can they seek help or a way out?
Love is blind, that's true. But two people in love are not blind. And love itself might not have the eyes, but the people going into it do have the eyes. Mm. And one of the things that I love is that we are a community. And pretty often, someone will always warn you, even when your eyes are blind. Someone will always come up and warn you and tell you that, those questions are always loaded with information. With information. And we discard them. You know, they know more, and they are looking for an opportunity or room to be able to tell you. Mm. But you are so into it, you're not even listening to anybody else. Also, when you're talking, don't get into a relationship without talking. I had a coach some time ago who used to say, when you are dating and then somebody says, and then immediately as the dating starts, if dating yet is going to your outside room at home and, you know, doors are closed and windows are closed, there's no talking that's going to happen. We all know what's going to happen in that room, right? Mm. So you're getting into a relationship without conversation, and that is dangerous. True. The only way to ever get to know a person is allowing them to talk.
Yes,
true.
That you protect yourself by allowing space where the other person is going to talk, express who they are, where do they come from, what do they, you know, think the future holds for them, what are they doing currently, who's the most important person in their lives, what do who are their siblings, who are their friends, what do they do in their spare time. All of these things, you don't ask each other in a back room somewhere. You will ask each other in an open place, somewhere, getting to know the person. And that's when you'll be able to make informed decisions, not feeling decisions.
Underline the part. Feeling decisions. Yo, that is very powerful.
You know, also, Sisagle point delay of toxic relationships.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you ask yourself, "Hey man, what's akusahambi kahle?" My friend once told me that ngeke uthuphethwe ikhanda kube nuphethwe isisi. Lento sokuyibona isukuyiyona.
Isukuyiqiniso. And you fear to be real.
Mm.
Hence you ignore it.
Yeah.
You see. I've said it on the show before, so that true. Breaking up is okay, and we need to start being open to the fact that when we are dating, we're really getting to know each other. Therefore, it means I might find something I don't like. I don't have to be forced to like. And I think one of the things that creates difficulty is a physical entanglement that we run into. And because we've run into that, then you feel like you need to hold on. You are now attached, and you now need to hold on because now, you know, you've done this, you've opened this room with that person and all of that stuff, and they're also now feeling indebted that, I've done this with this person, so let me just bring them along, you know, because you've created that entanglement. But if you go with your mind and the understanding that, you know, dating is about getting to know the person that, you know, and you leave your you leave your physics, your physical away, and enjoy company. And see how the person treats the waiter, you know, how the person treats the waitress.
Yeah.
And you'll know that, okay, if the waitress can be treated like a nobody, one day I will be a nobody.
True.
Sure. Yeah, this is feeling like a mom to girls talk.
Do you guys want to open that circle? I'll be glad to do it. You could do a mom and daughter's circle, and we could sit down and do some girl talk.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
That would be super great.
Sorry, Princess.
No, I'm saying that is so true, Mrs. M, because this one lady, I watched a video of her on TikTok, and she was addressing this thing because she's a Christian content creator, so people were asking her about how, why is it that all the time Christian couples always get married so early, unlike other couples, most of the time it doesn't take that long for them to get married. And then she was saying, the thing is, she was speaking from her own experience because she's in a Christian relationship, you know, where they're both spiritually yoked. So she was speaking from her own experience. Uguti, when you are in a relationship with someone, and you do it the right way, as in you sit with them and you get to know them and you're speaking and you're not having sex, it's easy for you to feel like you've known this person almost your whole life, because most of the time you're just speaking, you're just spending time with each other, just speaking, and that's all you're doing. So that's why you're able to make that conclusion very quickly. Uguti, I see myself spending the rest of my life with this person. It's quite easier than if you
it is much easier using conversation, but if you're going to use your physique, then one might say, I need to go try another, you know, I need to then make sure that this is really it, you know, for the rest of my life. But really, we're not choosing a person then, because that could be anybody. It could be anybody. But the conversation, the open questions, watching the person in their element, in their profession, with their family, they always say tumele gundane, which just means hambolunguza, you know, with their family, with their sisters and siblings or brothers, you know, then you will know, you know, if mom is the number one and it all, and you know that that's not what you like, you know. And I think then you will see when the relationship is in future, it has some signs of it becoming toxic in future.
Yeah. Most definitely. I agree with that.
I'm not saying, you guys now are so quiet. It's like you're thinking about your own lives now.
I mean, yes, we do feel a bit dragged. We're thinking about the things we've done in the past.
I can just tell. You guys are sitting quietly like you've just been rebuked. No, come back. Spirit of the Lord loves you. God loves you.
Mrs. M, your insights are always enlightening, and relationships shape our lives, and understanding the good and the bad helps us navigate our future better. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. You know,
thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Always being open to this discussion. I think they are so important. The depression and the anxiety and the stresses that we have are based on relationships and the mistakes that we've made.
True. Very, very true. I can attest to that. Thank you so much, Mrs. Amieni.
Thank you, ladies. Enjoy your afternoon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.